do with those that's not able to be with us this morning. May Father, even if you be pleased, pray in fact this evening, afternoon worship service. Father, be with our sister churches, be with our missionaries, be with our president. Lord, just intervene in all things in this world. Father, we know you have complete control, and Father, we know your will be done. So, Father, give us the encouragement and strength we need to face each day, Father, especially the things of this world that are evil. Father, forgive us for our sins. Now go with us as we further to the service. May it all be down to your glory and honor. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Again, good morning to you. If you'll turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to continue our study this morning on the spiritually depraved graveyard, speaking of this world in which we live. It is a spiritually depraved graveyard. Churches this morning are those assemblies that call themselves churches are filled to the rim this morning with people that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, who are spiritually depraved and falsely worshiping our God. Our God is to be worshiped in two forms, spiritually and in truth. If you do not worship Him in those two forms, you do not worship the Lord our God. I've been talking, I don't like to call it arguing because I don't argue with people. I find it useless to argue with people. The Lord tells us not to cast our pearls before swine. And that's not a criticism of them. That's just what God calls them. They were mocking Baptists because we believe in once saved, always saved. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. I believe once you're born again, you're born again. And you can't be unborn no more than you can be unborn in this flesh. Amen. God made you born to His family. You are a newborn creature. And you cannot undo what God hath done.
Amen.
And I asked this person that I was arguing with or debating with or just talking with, the way you want to look at it. I asked him how many times he's been saved. Have you ever asked one of them that question? That came to me, and I thought, I'll just ask him how many times he's been saved. You know what answer I got? I got no answer. I got some scripture that doesn't even apply to what we were talking about. I asked him what you had to do to be lost again. You know what answer I got? I got no answer. I got another scripture that had nothing to do with what we were talking about. And I like to ask these people those questions because you don't get no answers. And then I gave him the answers in Hebrews chapter 6 where it said that if we were able to fall, we could not be renewed again. Because Christ only died once for sin. That's the spiritually depraved world we live in, folks. Just because they call themselves Christians don't mean they are. And God speaks of them here. We're going to read the verse three verses, because that's really where we're at. Verse four changes into something different what we're studying now. But notice the language here. And the writer here, Paul, he writes, as directed by the Holy Spirit, verse one, he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You were dead in trespasses and sin. You are no longer, if you are a child of God, dead in trespasses and sin. But you were. You were a child of the devil. You were a part of this world. You were part of the spiritually dead graveyard. When in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil. Even God just told us that, didn't he? When you walk according to the prince of the power of the air and to the course of this world, you're walking according to Satan. Because that's who God's talking about there. the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, all of them. Even in those elect of God who will one day be saved, right now they are minding the business of Satan. One day they'll realize they're doing wrong. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, and what? In the lust of our flesh. Meaning that's where they're at. They're satisfying fleshly desires. They're not here to satisfy God. They're satisfying their fleshly desires. In other words, they're going to be saved by their works, because that's what their fleshly desires are, to make their own path in life, to choose whether or not to serve God or not. That's what they think. We'll find out in a little while, in a few weeks, that's starting next week, that's not the truth. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. That's what they do. They fulfill them. And of mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's who you were. Every one of us. That's what we were. It ought to break us into tears to know what we were. Because when we were, we didn't realize it. Brother Joy Newell said one time a while back on Facebook, as I was talking to someone else, that we all will stand before God in tears for the sins we've done on this earth. We have to remember them. And that's the reason the Lord's going to wipe away all tears and all sorrow. We're going to know why we're there, because God saved our souls and caused us to be there. And that's for eternally going to cause us to praise and worship our God. Our first point, which we've already got, was this. First thing we must understand is people are spiritually dead. He said in verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You, he quickened. You did not quicken yourself. You did not save yourself. You did not cause yourself to repent. You did not make a choice. You did not make a decision. You did not turn over a new leaf. You did not work your works. You did not be baptized. You did not join a church. You did not do anything to cause or to bring about the fulfillment of your salvation. Your salvation, as we will find out soon, is by the grace of God through the works and election of God. At his sovereign hand were you saved. We got down last Sunday night to our second point. I did not record it, so I'm going to record it today, and we're going to go back over most of that because we didn't get very far. But notice here in verse 2, when the Lord says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He don't work in you. Understand. Please understand this very important part. If God resides in you by his Spirit, that means the Father's in you, Jesus is in you, and the Holy Spirit is in you. The Trinity of God is in you. There's no room for Satan. You do not have Satan in you. You do not possess Satan in any form. There's no room for him. There's no possible way a child of God can be demon-possessed. He might be controlled by Satan from the outside, but he is not controlling on the inside. And because that God controls us on the inside as Christians, this is the reason Paul wrote these things in past sense or past terms. We're no longer doing that. And no Christian ever ought to allow the devil or the powers of this world or the powers of anything evil to control them, nor to control their thinking, nor to control their attitude. You smile and you say, I am a Christian. You do what you want. You call me what you want. You demonize me the way you want to. You tell me I'm a horrible person because I am anti-abortion. You call me any name you want to because I believe it's wrong to be homosexual. You make fun of me and you call me anything you want to because God says women are to keep silence in the churches. And therefore they can't preach, they can't speak, they can't teach in the presence of men. Go ahead. You call me, make fun of me, demonize me any way you want to because I know the source, and that's exactly what they're doing. Anytime they call you all these phobic or ism names, they're mocking God and His Word. You know who they hate worse than Donald Trump in this world? You don't want to know. You think he's the most hated person in this world, don't you? Especially in America. He's not. You know who is more hated on this earth than Donald Trump? The people that elected him. You're the bad person. You're the devil. You call me whatever you want to. I do not care because God calls me His child. And that is who I am. These things are past to me. So second point is, these people are disobedient to God and His commandments. They are disobedient to God. What do you think all these name callings are? Why do you think they hate us so much? The Lord says they will hate you because they hated me first. Let me ask you this. Why did they crucify Jesus Christ? Why? What reason did they have to crucify Jesus Christ? When Pontius Pilate himself stood up and said, I found no fault in this man. You know what? We live in a world of people here in America that would tell the crowd the same thing they chanted back then, crucify him. You would think persecution of Christians is long beyond us. It is not. We're being persecuted every day. Every day, these socialists and liberals and almost communism. You know what socialism is? It's one step from communism. Oh, America will never be like Russia. Oh, America will never be like Venezuela. Really? We just want to undo the Constitution and throw it away. You know what they do when they tear up the Constitution and throw it away? They void our right to worship the Lord our God. We have to go underground. People don't think. Christians need to open up their mouths. We live in a spiritually depraved graveyard. There are a bunch of zombies walking around. And according to the advertisement on TV, your insurance does cover zombie attacks. Just a joke. Anyway, there is really a, there really is a stupid commercial that way. But anyway, they're like zombies walking around. They're dead. Spiritually, they're dead. In the beginning, Adam and Eve were disobedient to God. Anytime someone disobeys God, goes against the laws of God, doesn't obey His commands, His laws, they're disobedient to God. It's a sin. I don't care what it is. I used to make fun of people and say, you know, if you take a piece of bubble gum from your company without permission or without them giving it to you, it's stealing. If you take paper clips from your office and they don't give them to you, you're stealing. They belong to your boss. If you take a pen from your company they bought, you take it back and give it back. It belongs to them. You say, well, that's being picky. No, that's sin. Whether you like it or not doesn't matter to me. Because it certainly don't matter to God. God tells us not to steal. He tells us not to lie. He tells us not to cheat. He tells us not to kill. That is murder. As we do the unborn. And now we're talking about murdering the born. And soon they'll start talking about murdering the old people. They've already talked about it many times. So in the beginning, Adam and Eve were disobedient to God. And since all mankind is disobedient to God, and they are, this disobedience is the will of God or the commands of God. Or to the will of God. That is, they disobey whatever God's will is, that God allows them to disobey. Some of God's will you cannot disobey, in fact, most of it. They obeyed the voice of Satan, didn't they? Didn't Eve listen to Satan? She opened her ears to him. Never open your ears or your mind or your heart to Satan, folks. Don't do it. He's a sly liar. He comes as an angel of light to trick you, to trip you up, and to cause you to disobey the God that saved your soul. God tells you one thing, Satan tells you another. Who are you going to obey? As people do today. Even so-called Christians, even Christians, disobey God and listen to Satan. It is Satan that controls the mind of the lost. You cannot overpower Satan. He says in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air. That is, before you were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you walked according to Satan. You don't have to do that anymore. Do you know that? You don't ever have to do anything Satan wants you to do. He can't make you do anything. He can persuade you. He can tempt to cause you to do something, but Satan has no power over you that God does not give him. Simon said, deal with Job. You used to do these things. You don't have to do them anymore. It is absolutely a fact that the unsaved person, either consciously or unconsciously, is controlled by the values and attitude of this world, which is controlled by Satan. Don't let them demonize you into thinking that it's okay to murder unborn children. You're not a bad person because you believe that. Don't let them demonize you into believing that it's wrong to believe that homosexuality is wrong. Sin is wrong, folks. Adultery is wrong. Lying is wrong. Cheating is wrong. Stealing is wrong. I'm not singling out. These are just some of the main topics of today that they demonize Christians for. Don't let them demonize you that it's wrong or degrading to women that they're not allowed to speak in the Lord's churches. God orders the services, not the world. The churches belong to the Lord, not the world. If the Lord tells us to jump five pews before we start worshiping, that's what we do. I happen to know a lot of women. I'm married to one. I have two daughters. I have two sisters. I have a lot of women in my life. I've had women that's been over authority over me in my life. I tend to think that sometimes, most of the time, they're smarter than men, more intelligent than men. But that don't have anything to do with anything. We have a service and order which God gives it to us. And we are to conduct ourselves in the fashion and of God and not in the fashion of this world, which is controlled by Satan, which is anti-God. Everything they demonize us for is what God wants us to do. Satan is anti-God. And those that are his are anti-God. They are spiritually discerned. Spiritually dead. And because they are spiritually dead, they are totally depraved. And because they're totally depraved, they have no ability to change what they are. Regardless of what preachers tell you, they're liars. They do not know the truth and do not understand the truth, or they're ashamed of the truth. Either way, they're wrong and they're liars. Ephesians chapter 5. Satan has power over the world system. Satan influences the lives of all unbelievers. Not the way he does us, but he controls them. Maybe influence is the wrong word. Maybe I should have put control there. But nonetheless, he has power over the lives of the unbelievers. And also seeks to influence believers. He wants to make people children of disobedience, as God called them. Children of disobedience, whether you're Christian or lost. If you're lost, you're automatically a child of disobedience. But if you're a Christian, if you disobey God, then you're a child of disobedience. Satan never gives up, folks. He keeps coming. The devil doesn't give up. He lives for another day, another fight, or another day. God warns believers in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man, listen, let's do this closely, folks. Underline your Bible if you've got a pencil. If you don't, I got about 100 of them under here. I'll give you one. I'll give you 10. Tie them to a little string to your Bible so you'll have them. Marking your Bible, it don't hurt. It's not going to last forever. The Word of God lasts forever. That Bible will one day be destroyed. Let no man deceive you with vain words. You know what demonology is? It's vain words. When they make fun of us for who we are, or who we support, or how we act in life, when they demonize us for these things, that's vain words. They're vainly trying to get you to change who you are, to make you ashamed of who you are. Let's don't mix words here. Let's put this out the way it is. They are children of Satan doing the works of Satan. What was Satan? He was sly, wasn't he? He was sly. So are they. They all get along. You're fighting the world. This church fights the world. The man I was talking to yesterday is supposed to be a Christian. He worked with me. He has since left, but he worked with me. He's supposed to be a Christian. Vain words. They change the truth of God into a lie to make it work for them. And so he says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, God said. Amen. It's not our job to start back. That's why we don't like to argue. Because when I start arguing, I have a short fuse. If y'all hadn't noticed that over the 15 years I've been here, I do have a short fuse sometimes. Well, probably all the time, if you ask my wife. She would swear to it, but I don't know about that. But anyway, it don't take long to get me upset. And I don't want to get upset with the Word of God. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to be calm with it. Look here what God says next in verse 7. Be not ye partakers, therefore partakers with them. One of the most abused scriptures in the Word of God, outside of John 3:16, which 99% of the world has no idea what John 3:16 means. But this scripture, most Christians in the past didn't know what it meant. Come out from among them, be ye separate. Believe me this when I tell you this, okay? Never has God ever told Christians to be separate from other Christians. I've been wrong in the past on some things, and I've corrected some things in my thinking and in my lives. Because my life, I only have one, okay? I don't want another one. The only life I want after this is the one that God gave me in heaven. But I've been wrong in my life about some things, and I've changed them. The Lord never told Christians to be separate from one another. I don't care who you are, what nationality you are, you cannot hate Russian Christians. You cannot hate German Christians. You cannot hate Japanese Christians, China Christians. In fact, I don't know if they are any. I don't know. I assume that God does. So therefore, I assume that they are. God saved sinners, not me. So I don't know what's out there. So when somebody tells me a Christian, I believe them. I take it that their word for value. But never in life, our life, never in the Word of God has God ever told us to separate blacks and whites, or whites and yellows, or whites and red, or any other color scheme you want to use. Never has God ever told us that. That's Satan's lie that a lot of Christians have used. Black people walk into this church, we accept them. Yellow people walk in this church, we accept them. Same thing with any other shade of form. If you're a Christian, you're my brother or you're my sister in Christ.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are. But the Lord does tell us not to be partakers with the children of disobedience in this world. In fact, in John, 1 John, he tells us not to bid these people Godspeed. That is, people that oppose the truth. These people in the world that claim to be Christians, like Catholics, Church of Christ, Pentecostals, among many, many others, even a lot of Southern Baptists, probably some independent Baptists, who claim to be Christians and are not, and teach not the truth, I am not to help them, nor am I to bid them Godspeed. John 8. Children of disobedience. We got to watch ourselves, folks. We got to be very careful. We walk on thin ice with the Lord. If you don't think God will drag out a belt and get us, you're wrong. God can cause many things to happen to your life to get your attention. I am convinced that in my life things have happened the way they've happened by the chastisement of God. And they were not pleasant. I tried to walk a straight arrow, but I'm a sinner. Lord knows my frame. He knows I'm a sinner. He knows I'm going to sin. And he knows that the blood of Jesus will forget those sins. But when I keep walking disobedient, the Lord God tells us that he will straighten us out. It's called chastisement. We have to watch ourselves, folks. A lot of Christians haven't woken up to this. If they did, they'd be in church every Sunday. The only time they'd be out of church, they were out of town and at another church, or if they were sick. The spiritually depraved graveyard of this world, the unsaved multitudes in today's world system disobey God, listen, because they believe the lies of Satan rather than truths of God. We found that all through the Bible, don't we? Haven't we? Didn't Adam and Eve disobey God? Cain, he disobeyed God. The children up in the mountains, when they came down and found the Pharaoh woman down in the valleys, they disobeyed God. I've got this in my notes somewhere. We won't get to it this morning. I'm almost out of time. Ham disobeyed God. As soon as they got out the ark, the first thing Ham did is sin against God, disobey him. People disobey God all the time. One of Satan's chief tools of getting people to disobey God is lies. Lies. He's a liar. He lied to Eve. He still lies today. He lies about abortion. He lies about homosexuality. He lies about the cops. He lies about our government. He lies about Baptist. He lies all the time. John 8:43 says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Can you hear God's words? Yes, you can. You hear them. But are you listening? See, spiritually discerned people are the graveyard of America and the graveyard of the world. They can't hear God's word. They don't understand it. It's like Greek to them. You are the devil. Your father, the devil. Satan apparently couldn't hear him either. And the lust of your father you will do. Speaking to children of disobedience. He was a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own. For he's a liar and the father of it. Remember Eve in the garden when he said these words in Genesis 3:4, you shall not surely die. What happened? She died, didn't she? Spiritually she died and physically she died. He's a liar. Second John 8. We're going to finish right there with this. I'm going to get this point in. Give me about a minute or two. The spiritually depraved graveyard of this world, the unsaved multitudes in today's system, disobey God because they believe the lies of Satan rather than the truth of God. Why? Well, the Lord tells us here in verse 45 in John 8. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you confesses me of sin? And if I say truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words, therefore you hear them not. Why? Because you're not of God. But we are. Therefore, folks, we are without excuse if we allow ourselves to get tied in with the children of disobedience and become what we once were. Amen. Let's all stand. There you're going to leave us in one verse of Psalm.